There is no sense in house music. And I would like to stress that.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO's zine, The Boo Beat, is back with a second issue, featuring KBOO's program guide, interviews with local activists and community members, spotlights on local businesses, on-the-ground reporting, and fun quizzes and crosswords. Our zine has its finger on the pulse of Portland, and you won't want to miss it. To snag your copy, visit kboo.fm/zine.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from the Bureau of Labor and Industry's Child Care for Construction in partnership with Business Oregon, working to support those caring for children of journey workers in Oregon, even family and friends. More info at oregon.gov/BOLI/apprenticeship under the link Financial Assistance for Registered Apprentices.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up. It's Labor Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio, of the working class, for the working class, by the working class. I'm your host, Stephen Siegel. We don't have Rachel Haynes with us. Hopefully we'll get her back next time. We are broadcasting around the world from Portland, Oregon. I am a public school teacher and host every second Monday of the month. We typically interview educators and talk about what's going on in their schools and in their unions. And joining us today, we have two guests. We've got Lisa Danskin and Peter Olson. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, excited to have you both on. So why don't you start by just telling us about yourself a little bit, where you work, what your job is as an educator?
Well, Stephen, my name is Lisa Danskin, and I work for Klamath City School District at Klamath Union High School as a special education paraeducator.
And Stephen, I'm also here in Klamath Falls, and I'm actually in the elementary aspect of it. So I'm at Roosevelt Elementary, and I'm a MTSS para, and then also a Title VI liaison for the school.
Okay, so you wear a couple of different hats there. Yeah. Tell us what you enjoy about your work. I always like for listeners to know where the passion is or what you enjoy about working in schools.
I really enjoy working with all of my students. Being in the SPED community of education, they're all so innocent and honest. And, you know, each one has their different personality and is unique in their own way. And it's just so rewarding to see them, you know, master a skill, you know, when they finally get it. And, you know, that just that look on their face is just absolutely priceless. So I love my students.
And for me, Stephen, I think it's definitely the kids. You know, the opportunity to help kids build confidence in their academic abilities is really uplifting. There's not many careers that can do that. This is my probably third or fourth career, and by far this is, I would say, the most enjoyable and rewarding career I've had as far as being able to help kids really meet their potential. Most of our kids we work with just need a little more stability and structure to thrive, and that's what we try to provide.
Great. And would you also tell us about any sort of union involvement that you have, if you hold any sort of positions, and how you first got involved, if you have been involved?
So, Stephen, I've been a union member ever since I started with the school district 13 years ago. 8 years ago, I became a building rep. I was voluntold. And then 5 years ago, I was our local VP. And then 4 years ago, I became our local president, and I have been ever since. I'm also our local Klamath Lake UniServe Council president. I am on the Oregon Education Association Board of Directors. And I also sit on the OEA Foundation Committee. And when I first started with the union, I really wasn't all that active. And I didn't really become, you know, that involved until my vice presidency term, when I attended a education support professional conference in New Orleans. And I listened to this national president say to the audience that for decades and decades, ESPs have been disrespected and underpaid. And I just thought to myself, okay, if you're telling us that you know for decades and decades, why hasn't someone done something about it? Mm-hmm. So that was my drive to really get involved in the union, because I wanted to be that one to make a difference. Maybe not in the nation, maybe not in our state, but I knew I could make a difference within our community.
That's great.
Yeah, and Stephen, for me, I'm on the other end of the spectrum. I actually just joined 3 years ago. And honestly, my involvement probably is tied 100% with Lisa. As I listened to what she's trying to accomplish, it was, in my mind, I just wanted to support that. And so I've asked from the very beginning, it's like, what can I do to support what you're trying to accomplish? So pretty much whatever Lisa wants me to do, I will go do.
And here you're on our radio show. Okay. As living proof. So we invited you on to talk about your efforts to bargain a fair contract. We know you've been bargaining for a while with your district, with Klamath Falls. A lot of our listeners may not know much about the community in Klamath Falls. Can you tell us just a little bit about maybe the backgrounds of your students and what the community is like there?
So first of all, it's kind of, we are a small rural community, about 20 minutes from the California border, right at the foothills of the Cascade Mountains. So we're not large, you know, like Portland or Eugene or, you know, even Bend. We have two school districts here. We have Klamath County School District and we have Klamath Falls City School District. We both work for the city. So it's very competitive. Obviously, you know, both districts talk to each other, but, you know, one always tries to outdo the other with, you know, bargaining. Klamath County School District is a larger district. They go to further places, and where city is more in town. But yeah, we've got, you know, our schools, we've got our poverty communities, our Hispanic communities, you know, it's just like any other town, you know, basically. But Klamath County, the county itself, is home for Crater Lake and Kingsley Field Air Base. And they call us the City of Sunshine because about 300 days out of the year, we have sunshine, regardless if it's raining or snowing or what season it is, there's always sunshine. I'm glad this isn't recorded live, that you can see me, because today there's no sun.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and I'll just add into that, so I actually relocated to Klamath Falls from Seattle, again, about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. And what I've noticed is in Klamath Falls, I mean, we are a small community and we really lean on one another. It's neighbors helping neighbors. So what we do has a huge impact to the rest of the community, more so than, say, Portland or, you know, some of the larger cities.
Gotcha. Yes. Yeah, I've lived in a smaller town once, so I know. I think one of the analogies was that I was more of a sort of a bigger fish in a smaller pond.
Yeah.
So your union has been bargaining for how long now?
Since May.
Since May. Okay. And so how would you say that's been going overall, and what are the major sticking points, excuse me, and why are those things important to you and your coworkers?
So I must say in the beginning, it was very cordial. We agreed on some really, really great non-economic language. So I thought, you know, I had hope, you know, that we were going to just smooth sailing all the way through. But unfortunately, we hit a standstill when it comes to the financials. And we're going to stand strong when it comes to getting our members out of a poverty situation. I did a survey and I didn't realize just how many of our membership was using state assistance, like OHP, SNAP, TANF. Mm-hmm. And 25% of our membership is in a poverty situation, and that's not okay. So one, we shouldn't have to compete with fast food wages when we are essential in educating our future, your future, my future, our future. Second, we shouldn't have to make the decision on whether we put food on the table or pay the heating bill. Some of us are one paycheck away from homelessness. And, you know, unfortunately, we are in a crisis right now, and we need to change that.
Yeah. How many of your members, do you have any sense, work a second or multiple jobs?
I'd say at least 50% of our membership.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and let me add on to that. Again, our financial package, which we're asking for $4 an hour increase across the board, it, with the economy the way it is right now, that will basically keep our heads above water. It's not that it's going to go towards, hey, we can go on vacations, we can go buy another car. This will keep food on the table. It might put gas in our tank. It will go back into the community, and the fact that money is going to go back into the community will help other workers, mm-hmm. and support their jobs and their families. So again, it's not only important for all of our members, but it's also important for the other workers in our community.
Isn't that funny how economics work? It's like when people have enough to buy food and to buy a few things, then they actually spend that money, right? They don't just hoard it away in some retirement account.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. Okay. So what are some of the excuses that you've been hearing from the district? Because I'm sure the district has their own narrative for why they just absolutely can't afford this outrageous demand. And that was my sarcasm there. And how are your coworkers feeling about the district response to your bargaining?
Well, we've been told that our financial proposal of $4 across the board is outrageous and ridiculous. If they give us that high of a COLA, then we will bankrupt the district and they will have to issue RIFs. We've heard that from day one, which is not true. We have looked at their financials. Otherwise, we wouldn't have proposed, you know, such a high amount. Because the last thing that we want to do is really bankrupt the district. And, you know, we don't want any rifts to happen. I mean, that defeats the whole purpose. So we know they have the money. Our membership is just absolutely so disgusted with the fact that we're the last contract to be ratified. We've got five contracts within our district, and, you know, we're still hanging on by a thread. Mm-hmm. All of the other four contracts received substantial COLAs with increases in the thousands and ten thousands compared to our measly dollars. The district has countered our offer with $1.50. $1.50 COLA will put those members who are on state assistance into so much more of a crisis, because it'll put them into a new bracket, causing them to lose their benefits, and then forcing them to have to enroll in district-offered health insurance, which would cause them to be more in a financial crisis than what they're currently in.
Yeah.
So we don't accept their $1.50. Our membership is just... they're just so disgusted right now.
And, you know, I can add in that I know our members are just angry. They're tired of being disrespected. I know that they're ready to be the tip of the spear in the fight for livable wages, because that's what we're fighting for, is livable wages. And we're looking for livable wages for all workers. And it needs to happen now. As Lisa had mentioned, this has been going on for decades and decades. The time is now. We can't wait any longer.
Yeah, and that's interesting that you've done the financials. From what you can tell, the district could afford it, and that raise that they're talking about would actually potentially it would cause more harm to some of your lower earners, right? Because it would shift their bracket. I think that's something that we all need to understand, is that sometimes when those little raises are incremental, it actually does more harm than good.
Absolutely.
So what are you all doing now to ramp up pressure on the district? What have you tried so far, sort of going back in the past since when you started?
Well, even before we started bargaining a year ago, November, I started a Speak Now Bill of Rights campaign for Klamath Falls education support professionals. And currently, the campaign has 1,000 supporter signatures. And that's from billboards, bumper stickers, yard signs, business posters, you know, community events. Wherever we can get involved, we've been involved. But we need so much more support. From our first bargaining session, I've been sending out basically transparent updates on what and how the district has proposed and reacted. We've been filling the room with members, teachers, even our community members. We've been standing strong with our financial proposals. We're not going to back down. But I don't think the district took us seriously until I did a step-by-step comparison as to what the teachers, the confidentials, and the administrators' COLAs were to what the district was offering us. Mm-hmm. I got the big post-its and, you know, I did step-by-step comparison. This is what you're getting and this is what you're offering. I think it really opened their eyes. And that session was actually reported on news channels and the newspaper and the radio and social media. So I think that that really showed them that we mean business. And I'm sure having the president of OEA speak at the table also showed how important KFACE really is.
Yeah. Can you tell our listeners about how many members do you have? And can you also tell us what are some of the, give us sort of a range of the kinds of jobs that folks have in your union?
So we have about 180 members, and we're a mix of bus drivers, food service, secretaries, health aides, our technology support, our paraprofessionals. We're basically the ones who see the kids first in the morning and the last ones to see them home before, you know, they go home for the night.
Yeah. You're all the ones that really keep the schools running.
Exactly. And I don't think the district would be able to, any district would be able to function without classified employees. I guess it all depends on where you are in the state and where you are in the nation. We're referred to as classified employees as well as education support professionals. I prefer education support professionals because, I don't know, classified sounds so sterile. But yeah, that's who we are.
Classified sounds kind of top secret, right?
Right.
Does that include your custodial staff?
Actually, our custodial maintenance and mechanics, they are classified employees, but they're on a different contract.
Gotcha. Okay. So tell us a little bit about what you're planning for next.
Well, we have filed for mediation, which we should be on the books for February. And we're going to continue to stand strong to get us out of poverty, even if that means showing them just how essential we are with a strike.
Okay. And when you say file for mediation, maybe for our listeners, can you say a little bit more about what that means?
So we've basically bargained for more than 150 days, which there's a whole bargaining process, and mm-hmm. you do have to at least have a minimum of 150 good faith bargaining days, which we've exceeded that. Once you realize whether it's the district or the union, if you can't come up with an agreement, then you file for mediation, which you have someone from the employee relations board come in and just help the two parties maybe work out a deal. There has to be a minimum of two mediation sessions. And then from there, if that doesn't work, then the district will give their last and best offer. And if we don't accept that, then we vote for a strike.
Gotcha. And do you have any sort of inkling for what sort of support there would be for that, if that's what it comes to, from your members?
We need everyone on board. And I think with the way they're feeling right now, we should have a high percentage, you know, 80, 90%. Of our membership, I'm sure will vote to go to a strike. It's very fortunate that they just passed laws that when you're on strike, you can file for unemployment benefits. So that will help us out, as well as our state union will have some relief funds if we go on strike as well.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so my next question is a little bit sort of getting sort of bigger picture kind of question, but you know, myself living in the Portland area, I feel like oftentimes a lot is made out of the differences between folks who live in the sort of the Portland metro, Salem, Eugene area, and folks who live in more rural parts of the state. urban-rural divide, as sometimes it's referred to. What thoughts do you have about how we get past those differences so that that all workers and working class people are sort of fighting together for a better quality of life?
Well, it really shouldn't matter, you know, if you live in metro or a suburban or a rural area. We all need to set the narrative for every community, for every district, for every classified employee to receive a livable wage. It's not based on, you know, the minimum wage. I mean, I'm sure people in Portland, you know, they earn more per dollar than we do here in Klamath Falls, but your prices are also higher than here in Klamath Falls. So it really shouldn't matter where you live, but it's the time is now to set that narrative. It should come from the top in any sort of, you know, business or agency or what have you, but in this case that doesn't seem to be working. So it needs to come from the bottom, and we need to do it now.
All right. Well, my last question is, what can we all do to support you in your continued efforts to win a fair contract?
So the support that we need, I know it's hard for everyone to come down to Klamath Falls, especially since we're going to be going into winter, and it doesn't matter which direction you come from, you have to go over a pass, and there's snow. So we don't want people, you know, to danger their lives to come down to rally with us. But the support that you all could give us is we need people to go to our Facebook page, which is Speak Now for Klamath ESP Bill of Rights, and fill out our support form.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Sure. Speak Now for Klamath ESP Bill of Rights. The more support that we receive from all over the state, it'll put pressure on our local district to pay us a livable, respected wage that we deserve. And essentially, when we win this contract, it will help every Oregon ESP across the state. So you remember when I said a few years ago, when I heard that for decades and decades, classified employees have been disrespected and underpaid?
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this too already. I knew that I couldn't change the nation. I knew that I couldn't change the state, but I did know that I could start and change my district. And that's what I'm doing. When this contract changes our district, it will begin to change our state. So if we can get all the support that we, you know, from the community, from the listeners, to go to that Facebook page, and I'll say it one more time, Speak Now for Klamath ESP Bill of Rights, and fill out the support form.
That's great. And I can include that on the episode page as well, so that folks that are looking at that episode page, they will see that. And also, I imagine that, you know, we could pick up the phone maybe and give your district a call and let them know what we think about them trying to pay poverty wages to their workers.
That would be great. Our superintendent is Mr. Keith Brown at Klamath City School District. Yeah, write a letter, send a letter to our board, visit our website and submit, you know, a public comment. And yeah, just I do updates on our Facebook page, so you'll know when our next bargaining session is, or our next rally, I guess I should say. I guess we're not having any more bargaining sessions, but an update as, you know, if we've come to an agreement or if we're going on strike. And when we go on strike, I mean, we'll need all the support that we can possibly get, especially since it's going to be winter. Having those folks out there picketing in the snow is going to be incredible.
Yeah. And community support as well, right?
Of course.
Super important. Well, I want to thank both of you so much for coming on today. Really appreciate the conversation and wish you well in your fight. And I'll be definitely staying tuned to what's going on there. I also want to thank you, audience, for tuning in tonight. This is Steven Siegel. You've been listening to Labor Radio. Tune in next Monday and every Monday at 6 o'clock to catch another Labor Radio show.
KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
This is KBOO Portland. Before we get started, I want to remind you that KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we're funded by you, the listener. If you enjoy Prison Pipeline, then please show